You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
How has the work of J.S. Bach influenced spiritual care? It's Bach Week on The Coffee Hour, and we'll talk more about it in just a moment.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine by visiting cui.edu.
Joining us today, Deaconess Kara Patton, Worship Coordinator with the LCMS Office of National Mission. Welcome back to The Coffee. Have you been on?
I've never been.
Welcome to The Coffee Hour, Deaconess Kara Patton.
Glad to be here.
And also joining us, Cantor Christina Roberts, Cantor of Our Savior Lutheran Church and School in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Welcome, Cantor Roberts.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It is great to have both of you on today. We're talking about spiritual care and J.S. Bach. I know both of you love both of these things, so I'm looking forward to our conversation today. First, before we start talking about music, specifically Bach, let's talk about how both of you serve the church. You both have very different roles serving in the church. Deaconess Kara Patton, tell us what you get to do, what you do as a deaconess, what you get to do as a deaconess here in the International Center.
Sure. As a deaconess, I primarily support the office of the pastor. I help provide spiritual care. I help provide works of mercy or coordinate works of mercy. And I also teach the faith, especially to women and children. Specifically here at the LCMS, I work with our chaplain in the building to help provide spiritual care to employees who may need it. We also have chapel every day at the LCMS International Center. So I help organize, schedule that and get musicians together and get prayers and everything that the pastor may need to help that run smoothly. And then for LCMS worship itself, we prepare lots of resources for the church, including prayers of the church, lectionary summaries, Luther's Te Deum. We put that out a few years ago as a free resource for everyone to download, and a hymn of the day studies, Bible studies, things like that. So a whole plethora of resources out there to help God's people and his servants in the church to proclaim the word of God through music and song and in the context of receiving his gifts and in the divine service and worship. So that's one aspect of it. We also help organize and run a lot of the big worship services for the Synod out there. So one big one we're working on right now is the LCMS Convention, all the worship services associated with that. So keeps us very busy.
Which occurred about a week ago at the time that this is airing. So yes. You can breathe now.
We'll be basking in the afterglow of all things convention when this airs.
You're taking a nap.
Yes, there you go.
Appropriate.
I like how she just spoke, like glossed right over like organizing worship for like chapel here at the International Center.
So much.
She spoke about it like it was so simple, but there are so many moving pieces in that. I have such great respect for you and all the work that you do, because you're like coordinating the pastors who are preaching for chapel, the musicians who are also leading the hymns and singing in chapel, and then all the special things that come up for chapel as well as all the prayers. So it's greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
I know it involves a lot of coordinating. Yeah. So you live up to your title. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Cantor Roberts, tell us about how you serve the church, the ways that you serve the church.
Well, I have what I think is the best job in the whole world, which is to be the cantor of the Lutheran Church. And it's Bach's job, right? So this is the thing I'm always telling kids when I'm teaching them about Bach is, you know, I have the same job as J.S. Bach, which is so great. And that means that I not only do I get to play organ for the services and help to plan the hymns and plan the music and prepare the choirs and prepare the instrumentalists. But I also get to teach the children and work in the school and help to form all of these young Christians and in music and in the faith. And I'm to do all of this. And so I always say, but Bach also taught Latin and I don't do that. But other than that, you know, like, and we get to write music for the church, but he also did that much better than I did. Like, and so that, but this job of continuing the church's song, for all of her people is what we do.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah. And we're talking more specifically about spiritual care today. Now, Kara, you already mentioned that spiritual care is part of what it means to be a deaconess. Tell us a little bit more about what that looks like in that diaconal role.
It really involves a lot of listening, a lot of walking alongside people, a lot of hearing their stories, sitting with them through difficult, very hard things that they may be going through, and then applying the word of God to them in ways that are comforting, but also may be a little uncomfortable for both you and for the person that you're helping. You know, God's word does not gloss over things like sin, death, pain, sadness. Neither does Bach, actually.
Right.
So all very connected. But walking with someone through that and pointing them to the word of God and giving them the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ is one of the great joys. And that can take a long time. Sometimes I only have 15 minutes with somebody and I never see them again. But one of the joys of being here is I see people through wonderful, you know, happy times and also times that they may be struggling, and just being there to offer a ministry of presence to where I am, you know, I'm the church. I'm the church sitting with them, maybe singing with them or singing for them a hymn that is dear to both of us, that proclaims the word of God. And being that the church that sits with them and walks with them and then points them to the gifts of God, and especially in the divine service, but also like pastoral care, you know, sending them to a pastor, getting them connected to pastor for confession, absolution, things like that. So it's a lot of patience, a lot of listening, and it's also a lot of getting outside yourself. It's not about me. It's about Jesus speaking his word to this person in this context.
Christina, what does that look like for you in your role as cantor in the church and in the school too?
Yes, I think for cantors, I think there are two sort of realms that spiritual care happens for us. And it's not something we talk about very often, I think, with church musicians, but we are providing spiritual care in both formative ways and in preparatory ways. So we're helping to form Christians by giving them music to sing that is, or giving them God's word to sing through all sorts of different music, that helps them to have this sort of storehouse of texts that they'll be able to come back to for their entire lives. So we're forming them through that. And then preparatory, we're setting those texts up so that when deaconesses and pastors are there sitting next to them as the church and they sing with them, these people have the texts already part of who they are and can use them in some of these very spiritually trying moments that maybe as a cantor, I'm not there for, but sometimes I am, but not as often as our deaconesses and our pastors are. But I've helped supply the texts and the tunes that go there so that they can start to make these connections, with the things that they've been learned and formed in through all these years. And then applying the Lord's word for the time in their life when they need it most. And it's not a new or foreign or unfamiliar object or sound, but a comfort that that is there for them and that it helps kind of align their emotions correctly with what God is actually doing at the time.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, Kenter, that there is spiritual care from the organ bench?
Mm. Oh, yeah, certainly. Any time that the organ has this great ability to almost explain or color or enliven texts with the different sounds that it can produce and the different sort of moods it can strike. And so anytime the organ is helping to bring the word of God that is on the page to give it life and to give it sound and to help to give it sort of a three-dimensional meaning for our listeners and our singers, I think that's that's giving spiritual care to people in the moment. And then also, for them to remember and then think about later, oh, I remember when we sang Lord Thee I Love with all my heart. And, when then from death awakened me, like the organ exploded and oh, that's how we're going to be exploding from our graves. That same thing is happening.
Yeah.
And, right. So yes, absolutely. We want to put the sound waves of the Lord's word into the actual, like, sort of theological imaginations of our people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think both of you work in a similar realm of planning the music that happens in worship services. And that is a bit of a behind the scenes kind of thing. I mean, a lot of us, we show up on Sunday, we've got a bulletin. We're like, oh, great. These are the hymns I'm singing today. So that's the music that I'm going to sing today. But there's a lot that happens behind the scenes of planning that, of thinking through. I mean, we don't just hopefully randomly like flip through the hymnal and pick one and go, hey, that's great. Let's do that one. I'm curious the things that both of you think about, the thought process, how you consider the people that this music will be used, the music, the people who are going to be singing or, mm-hmm. or listening to the music. What do you consider when you're planning a worship service or an experience for people, Cantor?
Well, I mean, the very first thing we consider is the lectionary that's before us, right? This is the word of God given to the church for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. To bring it back to Bach again, it's such a comfort to me to look at Bach's choices when he's writing this cantatas and know that he is basing all of that work on the exact same thing that I'm basing all of my choices on. Mm-hmm. That these readings serve the church in Bach's day and in Luther's day, and even before then, that these readings have served the church faithfully. So I don't need to go looking up something new, but to use this word that the Lord has provided to her church, to his church, through the centuries, and then to make sure that I'm making musical choices that fit that, first of all, and then help our people see the gifts that God is giving them through that word in this time. I've been thinking about this a lot lately because we recently had a member die that was very dear to all of our hearts. She was only 42 years old. Mm-hmm. And thinking about like what words of comfort to share with her family. And one of the things that I do that I sort of think of as a sort of a cheat is that I try to, in whatever sympathy card or text or whatever I'm sending to a family, quote some stanza of some hymn that's either going to be in a hymn that we sang last Sunday or a hymn we sing in the following Sunday. So they have this instance to pull forward or back to of something that's really happening. When I'm choosing hymns for our service, I don't make sure, oh, there's a death appropriate hymn in every church, you know, Sunday with the church year. But there always is, because our heritage is so rich with the full comfort of things that we need, that even if I were to just limit myself to the six hymns that are on the docket for this week, there's something that's going to provide spiritual care in all of that, all of the time. And that's not because of my doing, but that's because of this huge, rich heritage mm-hmm. that we have that has been given to us by the Lord's working.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Kara, I want to ask you that same question, but we're going to take a quick break first, and I will come back to you right after that. We're talking about spiritual care and the music of J.S. Bach during Bach Week. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking about spiritual care and the music of J.S. Bach during Bach Week. We're joined by Deaconess Kara Patton, Worship Coordinator for the LCMS Office of National Mission, and Cantor Christina Roberts, Cantor at Our Savior Lutheran Church and School in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And before we went to break, we were talking about the planning that happens. And Cantor, you gave a wonderful explanation of the things that you do at Our Savior. Kara, how does that work in the International Center and just with your work as a deaconess and a musician? You are also a musician, so you have a background there too as well.
It's an incredible blessing to have that musical background because it helps so much in understanding our hymnal and our liturgy and things like that. But here at the International Center, the chaplain, Reverend Sean Denzer, he kind of lays out the whole lectionary for a good chunk of time, and he's picking service details and hymns, and we really try to talk together and work together on that to make sure, he's very good at this, to that the hymn really resonates with the text, because everything we do is flowing from the Word of God. So it's not about what kind of we want or what, you know, the congregation wants. It's what texts and music as well fits best with this text as you proclaim the Word of God. And it's really amazing how these things work together. You know, God's Word does not change. Mm-hmm. But we, with our emotions and our life situations and the things we're going through, we sort of vacillate back and forth. So one text may hit one year one way, and a hymn may hit one year one way, and then the next year or next time the reading comes up, they'll hit a completely different way. But it's like a prism of light that these choices end up even if they don't really look like they kind of go together, just like, hey, we need a hymn, we need to praise him, here we go. The pastors will take the hymn texts along with the reading and craft that in their sermon. We've seen that a lot very recently in chapel, which is wonderful. So, and that just provides a wonderful foundation, a wonderful treasure chest for our people to reach into when times get tough or when things are joyful, to pray God's word back to him in word and song, in the words of the liturgy and the songs of our hymns, and to be a part of that, to help make those selections. Or, you know, sometimes we have to change something really quickly, and it's pulling out a hymn that, well, this is a hymn that is one of the ones we want to catechize our people in. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring it out more often, or it'll be kind of a standby for certain situations. All of those tools are very helpful as we craft the chapel schedule here at the IC.
Yeah.
What is then the place of Cantor J.S. Bach in that, in how does his work lend itself to spiritual care?
Well, I would say that Bach is such a gift to the whole world, but especially to us as Lutherans, because a lot of his work, especially his cantatas, you know, has at the core a Lutheran chorale that we are very familiar with. So in the midst of this glorious music that we are experiencing and hearing, often in a different language, because our primary language is English, not German, suddenly here comes this familiar tune. And even if you're not familiar with the text, or you're looking in a libretto and reading the translation going, okay, this is beautiful, here comes this familiarity that connects us with Bach, that even throughout these centuries, he is connected, like Cantor Robert said, to the word of God that we are hearing every Sunday, day in, day out. He is singing the hymns that we have sung for centuries. And then he is unfolding from that some beautiful text painting, beautiful ways of exploring the human condition of what it is to be a sinner saint in this world and to bear the cross and follow Christ and be conformed to Christ in the world. So as, you know, Bach used the toolkit that we're using and that we have been given by the church, he ventured out a few times. He did some other things. He was innovative in many, many ways, but he used that same toolkit. And from that, we have this wonderful gift that we can use to comfort others, to both give them new experiences and new ways of looking at life and pointing them to God's word, but also, you know, pointing them back to, look, your brother in Christ all these years ago struggled with a lot of the same things. And this is what comforted him, was the word of God. And this is what he did. And this is his gift to you.
Andrew Roberts, how do you see Bach's music lending itself to spiritual care?
Oh, I love that idea, Deaconess Patton, of him using that toolkit, the same one that we have. That's so beautiful. And it's true that, like, when I play a lot of Bach for our children in school, and as they'll hear this melody come out, and you're right, sung in German, and they'll join their voices to it unknowing, like they don't even think about the fact that they're doing it. We were listening to the opening movement of St. Matthew's Passion, and it has this great, like, back and forth, who, Jesus, you know, like the bridegroom, and back and forth. And then over the top of it, these six young boys' voices start singing, O Lamb of God, pure and holy. And our like third and fourth graders just started joining with them, just singing along because they know this text, they know, and it's part of who they are. And so, Bach's reaching forward, or they're reaching back. It doesn't matter, right? No. Time and space, to connect these things together. And Bach is constantly doing this. He's helping us to glimpse the beauty of the Lord. And it's fun when you're teaching these things to young Christians and older ones too, but, to help them discover all of these little sort of hidden things that he's placed in the music that maybe the average listener doesn't recognize immediately. We spend a lot of time every year listening to the Crucifixus from his Mass, which is just simply, he's taking the whole creed, and the kids are, their minds are blown like this. How long does it take us to say the creed? And we time it. And then like, and okay, so here's Bach's entire creed takes this many minutes, and they're just, their minds are blown. And so then we spend time just listening to the phrase was crucified for you or for us, and talking about how that descending baseline is Christ going into death, and that sighing chromatic line. And they look at it in the page and they could see this, You know, like this soft descent into almost nothingness. And then the next movement that follows it is the huge, loud, biggest part of the whole thing, the resurrection. And to hear, to hear those two things side by side strikes them so, so strongly and helps bring to life then when they're reciting the creed, how important these two things side by side are, that he was crucified for us and on the third day rose. And you can just hear it in their voices when, oh, because Bach has given them that understanding of what has happened. And then, I mean, and then in as much as they get to sing Bach's music, which is some, for sure, it provides them with, unbelievable real life experience, in how God is caring for them. Can I tell a story about something that happened to us this spring with Bach?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay. So, we were learning, a piece that's attributed to Bach. It might have actually been by one of his cousins, but Seth, that's just fine.
family.
Yeah, it's all okay. It was a piece for Easter, and it actually one of the pieces that, well, since this will be airing after convention, that our children are going to get to sing at convention this year, but we were learning it already for Easter, and we'd been working on it very, very hard. And it was the Monday of Holy Week, and we came into school, and in our morning school-wide opening prayer, the children were given two very, very difficult pieces of news. One was that one of their dearest teachers had taken another job and would be leaving them at the end of the year. And the other was that our school librarian, who had been battling cancer for 16 years, had had a terrible, terrible health setback. It was very evident that this was the beginning of the end, for her. And this was the first time the children were really, really wrestling with the fact that she was about to die. And we came back from morning prayer, and the very first thing they have to have after morning prayer is choir rehearsal. And none of us could even speak. We were all just emotional messes. And so we're talking about the hard separations, and that every separation, you know, whether it's to a new city for a new job, or whether it's the actual separation of death, that each one of these separations is a death, and that Christ doesn't intend for this. And yet we don't have to grieve them forever because of the resurrection. And then something ridiculous happened. And I wish I could even remember what it was, but it doesn't matter, because like then our whole group is crying. And then this ridiculous thing happened. And then all of a sudden we're laughing because of this a kid fell off the chair or something silly like that, right? And we're laughing and we're crying. And someone said, how can we even be laughing right now? And one of the children said, oh, for the very same reason that we just sing about in the Bach piece. We don't have to cry and mourn over this. We get to laugh at sin, death, and temptation. And I was blown away. They're making these connections. Well, this is the text that they had been singing. With loudest rejoicing, I laugh and I sing while others are weeping, yet for the very same thing. So henceforth, death, devil, temptation, I laugh to scorn. And in Bach's setting, it has this great, right? He's making them laugh even when they didn't want to. And they were able to make this connection between how hard and terrible the separations and death are in this life, and that Christ gives us the ability to laugh over it because he is triumphant from the grave. And I couldn't have written that, but Bach did. And the Lord gave it to us to sing in the year 2026, just at the perfect time when we needed it.
That was such a good story. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
That's why we have Bach Week.
This is why we have Bach Week. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Oh, that's such a great story. I was going to ask you guys ways you've used Bach in spiritual care, but you answered that question. Karen, do you have any examples of ways you've used Bach in spiritual care throughout your vocation as deaconess?
Well, this isn't necessarily during my vocation as deaconess, but at the I attended Concordia University of Chicago, and the Wind Symphony, our encore, it was,
Who keeps his trust in God's just.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We play it. and then we sing it in four part. And, you know, this is a way that a group of people, very different people with all sorts of degrees mm-hmm. and backgrounds and understanding, you know, sing these words to the congregation as saying farewell, but also how I saw how it provides spiritual care for the Wind Symphony itself. Mm-hmm. During, you know, it's hard to go on tour. It's very tiring. It's exhausting. Everybody's mad. Everybody's grumpy. You want to go home. And yet here we sing about, you know, death will not part me from Christ. Death mm-hmm. will not, you know, death cannot conquer me, even though I am weeping and crying. God's word triumphs in Christ in his death and resurrection. And I've always thought about that, you know, though I can't sing in German, or I can't, you know, maybe we'll never sing even a smidgen of all the beautiful things that Bach has written, being able to take those texts and give them to people I serve as spiritual care, and, you know, point them to just listening to Bach, even when they cannot think beyond their grief or feel anything beyond their grief. There are thousands of recordings of Bach's works out there. Listen to them and maybe look at the text and then look at the text behind the text, the word of God, and see how God's word works through that music to impact you, to point you to Christ, to bring you comfort and to strengthen you.
Mm-hmm. Another excellent example that is now running in my head right now. It's mm-hmm. something, you're right, both of you said this, these things just stick with you for your lifetime, especially when you hear them over and over and over again, and both of you are able to give that gift to your congregations, the people that you serve, and that is a really beautiful thing. So I wish we could keep talking, but unfortunately this is what we're just gonna have to wrap up today. It's been so great to have both of you on for Bach Week. Deaconess Kara Patton, Worship Coordinator for the LCMS Office of National Mission, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And Cantor Christina Roberts, Cantor of Our Savior Lutheran Church and School in Grand Rapids, Michigan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Bach Week on the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.